Okay, so all these different books we're going to talk about today, but back in the day, you had to have your own copy of Vines, and you had to have your own copy of an ESV if you wanted a different version. And concordance, the Strong's Concordance, you not only had to have your own copy, but you had to know what version you were using, because like that one's a New American Standard, and it wouldn't help me very much if I had a King James Bible because you couldn't look up the word. So you'd have to have several versions if you wanted to look it up from different versions. So this is this ESV Inductive Study Bible. I use the New American Standard Inductive Study Bible. That's my favorite Bible now. This ASV is probably the most literal translation, a little bit harder to read. It was the second Bible I had after a King James. That's my old New American Standard. There's the Knaves Topical Bible if you wanted to look up something by topic. This is a new book I bought just a few months ago with Bible maps in it. I have found that it's hard for me on the computer to see the map. You got to move it around. So I did buy that actually at Hobby Lobby. So this is like a parallel version. It has the King James and the Living Bible side by side. So as you can see, a lot of money and a lot of time and knowing what you need, and oh, you get it, and maybe that wasn't what you were looking for. So now we have a lot more resources, and we're going to talk about some of those today. But first, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. We're going to read a verse that we read before, but we're going to talk about it a little bit. Read a couple of verses because why are we even studying, or why are we even talking about spending a whole class period on what versions and Bible aids and how to use your Bible? So this is, I just wanted to kind of bring us back to why we do this, okay? In Deuteronomy, what was the main theme of Deuteronomy? What's going on there? Do you know? Moses, What's he doing? It's what we commonly call the second giving of the law, right? He's preaching a sermon. And he talks about in 14 through 17 that someday they're going to want a king. And he talks about what the king should do and not get all these things for himself. He should be looking out for the people. But then in verse 18, he says, "Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne," that's the king, "of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priest. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, so that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom and in the midst of Israel." So first, he has to write a copy in front of the Levitical priest. Why in front of the priests? Do you think?
Studying a book about this at Pepper Prairie, and it, I don't know if this is the right, but for accuracy is why they like, so if they were copying scrolls of the Bible, they had to have, there was a certain routine that they were given, and this is a book about the Bible being true and
Yeah,
accurate.
evidences.
Yeah, and so that each person would have to read over and proof. And if there were so many errors, they would do this. And if there were, this amount of errors, they threw it out and started over. It was just very
So that's
complicated.
exactly right. So the accuracy, the Levitical priests were over the law and making sure it was accurate. So that's the first thing we want to think about as we talk about versions today. That's something we should care about. How accurate is the translation we're using? We want to use a translation, not a interpretation, a man. So a lot of, we're not going to go into it, but there are, I have a whole series on evidences, and it talks about different translations and how many scholars and what they went through and the rigors of going and different. At that time, the scholars, they were scholars of the language. Some were not even believers. Some were believers of different religions. So you couldn't just put what you thought in because somebody else had to read it, a lot about the accuracy. Another thing that I found interesting was it says, "You shall read it all the days of his life." What does that tell us?
Search the scriptures and say,
So we're in our older years, maybe, right? We might say, oh, we kind of know, we've already known. It's all the days of his life. And I want you to notice how often it says his copy, all the days of his life. And it really struck me when I was studying this that it says that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, not the Lord, the people's God, not the Lord Moses, the Lord, his God. We do this because it's our God that we're trying to please and we're trying to learn from. And it says so that his heart won't be lifted up among his countrymen and that he doesn't turn aside from the commandment. He was the leader. So if he follows the commandment, usually what are the people going to do? They're going to follow the commandment as well. And so why do we read it? Why do we care what version? For the same reason, so that we're accurate and that we serve the Lord our God and that we do it all the days of our life and we're doing it correctly. All right, turn over to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31. So Moses, in verse 9, so Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children and the alien who is in your town, so that you may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. So, same thing. He wrote it out, gave it to the priests so it could stay accurate. Then they had to be read to the people. You know, what would we think if we got together, let's say on a Sunday night, and instead of having a singing, we read, just read from the scriptures for an hour? Would we be going, an hour? Somebody's just going to read, nobody's even going to say it, we're just going to read it for an hour? I wonder how long it took to read from Genesis to the end of Deuteronomy, because that's what they had at the time. And then later, you know, they had to read Genesis maybe all the way through Joshua because they had to keep doing this through. Think about how long that would take in one time reading, how long that would take. As I was reading this, I thought, that makes me a little ashamed. You know, I do my Bible reading every day. Got a good 30 minutes in. Oh, okay. You know.
They didn't have all the distractions we have for sure.
Well, I mean, but they also had not all the conveniences we have either. Wash your own dishes, wash your own clothes, take care of your own animals, walk everywhere. You know, I get told that quite a bit by my mother-in-law about how many conveniences we have. We have a lot of distractions, but we also have a lot of conveniences. And I know I'm speaking to myself. I think about where did my time go today? How much time did I spend actually studying or reading? And so you think about in Ezra, when everybody had to stand and listen to the reading of the law, well, by then it was longer than, you know, now if they read the history. But you notice when he talked about the king and when he talked about the people, it's because you don't want to read it just because that was really interesting to read about the Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage. That good history. Interesting to hear about all those miracles. It's because we want to observe the commandments. And we want to fear the Lord, not just be afraid, but have reverence. Although, when you read the plagues, you might be a little afraid. You know, just saying. But it also talks a lot. I was just doing that reading and talks about the compassion that he also had for the Israelites when they were so obstinate. And so it gives us a good understanding and reminder about fear of the Lord and about observing his commandments. And we won't go to Ephesians 3 because that's our memory verse. But when you can understand. So it's given for us to read. So in that vein today, we're going to talk about the versions. We're going to talk about some Bible aids to help you as you study, because not just read it, we're trying to understand it, we're trying to know it better so we can observe it. We're not going to go through all these. I hope that you looked at some of them, but it gives you some idea of how the versions may differ a little bit. You know, in the King James and New King James, the circumspectly in New American Standard, be careful, look carefully. So you can see some of the different, the translators, the way they translated it, to try to make the reader understand it a little more. You'll see in, actually, there's a footnote. We're going to talk about footnotes in the Genesis 2:18 New American Standard. It has this little one, and the LIT means literally. The word literally means corresponding to, suitable literally means corresponding to. Okay, let's look at Malachi 2:16. That one really threw me for a loop. I still don't understand it. I don't understand why the ESV translated it that way. I don't, because it does not match any of the other versions. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her. So let me show you one thing that I use. This app is called eSword. I have it on my iPad. You can download it for free, but you do have to pay for certain versions. I use it the most as far as, I do use Blue Letter Bible, but I'm just used to this one, and you can also, I can copy and paste some things. There's a place to put notes. I'm just familiar with it. But I like, yes. Oh, does it? You told me that. I forgot. Yeah. When I got it, it was free. It's been a while. There are a few things I don't like about it. Some of the ways that you put in notes and stuff is a little more difficult, but I don't put a lot of notes in it. I usually put my notes in my Bible. The other reason I like it, just total disclaimer, that my dad uses this and he puts a lot of notes in it, so he sends me his notes. So I have another commentary I can read. But in here, you can see how it has the ESV and the NASB side by side. So if we go to verse 16, you see it says, for the man who does not love his wife but divorces her. And then in verse 16, it says, for I hate divorce. I couldn't figure out why ESV put it that way right here. None of the other versions are really close to that. So I don't know. But that was just an example of why you may, especially if you're really studying something, you really want to compare versions, and that's an easy way to do it. And then I also do not have a copy of the New International Version, and we're going to talk more about some of these Bible aids in a minute, but the way I do New International is I use Blue Letter Bible, and you can go up here, right here, and you say click to change, and you see at the bottom here it says set primary and parallel versions, and you can go to the versions. I did this earlier so I could show y'all how. Oh, here we go. Okay, so right here, you have to click that you want the parallel with the column. And then you see I already have it as New American Standard and NIV. So that's how you have to do it. You have to go to that click, and then you can just save it. There's a place. Save preferences. Now, the thing that I didn't know how to do was to go back to where I was. So I'm just going to show you. You just type in the verse. And now you have it side by side. And then if you don't want it side by side anymore, you can just click this little X when you're done, and it goes back. So it's got a lot of features we're going to go over in a minute, but I just wanted to show you that. That's how I looked up the New International Version, because I don't have a hard copy, and I don't have it saved in eSword either. The reason I don't have New International Version, from what I've read and looked at and I've heard, it has a lot more interpretation for you rather than actual. it's nice to read it sometimes because a lot of young people have it. It's because it's considered easy to read. The problem with easy to read is they're interpreting for you what the actual words were, and that can be dangerous. So you wouldn't want to study from that, I don't think. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 16. Do y'all have a footnote? Or let's see how y'all's reads. Because I have the New American Standard with the footnote. Does everybody know what a footnote is? You look for the little one or the little two. If you go to 11 and verse 16, by the word other, there's a little one. That leads you to wherever your footnote is listed. So your footnote, it might be at the bottom. Mine is in the center of the page. And so you go to verse 16 where it shows 16 where your references are, and there'll be a little one. And in mine, it does, and it'll say literal. The LIT stands for literal, and it'll say such. So what it's telling you, the translators are telling you, they translated it other, but the literal word meant such. Yes. There is no one. There is on mine. Mine is the NASB 95, and it does. So that it's just a different. Yeah, so it must be just a different. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You may also have different references. Sometimes you'll have a New American Standard, but it's by a different publisher. Maybe it's by Thomas, or maybe it's by Nelson. And it just depends on the publisher. Some publishers put more, some less. I use the New Inductive Study Bible. Maybe it's because of that. I don't know.
From a previous study, I have written in there such.
Yeah. Yeah, and that doesn't make it right or wrong that it has it or doesn't. That's what we're talking about today. You just need to get to know your Bible. Because some have it, some don't. And depending on the translation, depending on the publisher, it may or may not. And just remember, most all your references or your footnotes, they're put in there by man. Now, literally, it's just trying to tell you that in the literal by the translator, this is what the word meant, probably the Strong's definition. But, they're not all going to have the same. That's just kind of the way it is. That's why it's nice to be able to look at different versions and stuff. Well, I am very prejudiced. I really like the New American Standard Inductive Study Bible for lots of reasons. It has lots of room in the margin. Has lots of room in the margin to write. It has a lot of footnotes and a lot of references. It's chain and central reference. At the back of every book, it has places to put chapter themes. Sometimes it'll give you keyword examples. If you're looking, you know, I think it was you that said, how do you know what words? Well, that will also give you some hints of words you should look at a lot of times. So that kind of give you a jump start. So what year? I think it's okay. They probably make it in a large print. They might make it in a larger print. It's okay for me.
A larger print would be really big.
Yeah, it would make it it's already a heavy Bible. I actually bought Andre one. He uses it at home, but he carries his little Bible everywhere he goes because this one's very big. But I'm just very, it has lots of maps in it, lots of things that I just like. But you have to remember, some of the things that are in it are also, you know, they're put in by man, so you have to go from there. The ASV, the American Standard Version, is probably the most literal translation. When I say literal, like word for word, that makes it harder to read, because you think if you had to write Spanish to English word for word, you know, it kind of makes it harder to read. But I do keep it, and I do now use on these other apps, check it, because it's very literal, very literal. So that helps. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk about that a little bit. Matthew chapter 6. And if we talk about the context and we go back up to verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing. So in this particular context here, Jesus is talking about not being worried about the necessities of life. So we come down to verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Does anybody have a translation that says something a little different, or there's some differences in it? Anybody have New King James Version? What is your, how does yours read? Oh, does it say clothe you? Interesting. I didn't think it did. Oh, it is. So a lot of New King James don't even have the words at all, even italicized. So any, what do you know what it means when it's italicized? That means that that word was not originally there in the manuscript, that the translators put it there to help it read better. And what they interpret that should be there to make it flow. However, in this particular verse where it says clothe you, okay, maybe I don't have that part up there, where the second one where it says will he not clothe you, that one, if you took it, yes, yeah, right here, okay, right here, yep, that is mine, thank you, right here. If you think about it, that kind of limits in a way the verse, that it's only about clothing, but really he's talking about, if you read it without it, will he not much more you take care of you, right? So all those necessities. Not a big argument, but it is, just remember, if the word is italicized, the translators put it in because they thought it would, they thought that's what the meaning was and that it would flow better. Let's turn to Acts chapter 6. I did not have this on your lesson sheet. This one, that, you know, this about the clothes or whatever, it may or may not, but this one could cause some issues. 6 verse 1, now at this time while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So what is italicized? So
native.
What else?
In number.
Jews.
Mm-hmm. Native.
And what about the last two words of the verse?
Food.
Of food. Now, of food, it could be a food. But my Bible also has a reference back to 4:35. Where it's actually talking about they laid the money at the apostles' feet and distributed it to each. So it could be, if it's the daily serving, and some people say, well, verse 2 clarifies that it's definitely food because it says of tables. But in a minute we'll look up the Strong's word, table also could be money distribution. They put money on tables. So it's not a big deal, but some people try to use this to limit benevolence to needy saints to only food. It's not just food. It could be other things. Yeah, it's a bigger deal if they try to use that. So it is very good to know those italicized words. ESV does not italicize. They put the words in, but they don't italicize. So that's one of the reasons I don't use ESV. But to be honest, the main reason I don't use it is because I'm so used to New American Standard. But I want to know, it's italicized, I want to know, it's important for us to know, because if we're studying, if somebody brings up an argument about something, we need to know if the words were actually there or not there. Now, we're very lucky because now we can go to some of these tools we're going to talk about and we can compare versions. But back in the day, you couldn't do that easily like you can now. So I want to know if a word's been put in. Okay? All right. Any questions on those?
On the verse before that
one? Uh-huh.
Mine is on 35, it says, and laid them at the apostles' feet. It just says them.
Oh, go up to read verse 34. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Money. Yeah, because they sold the land. Yeah, exactly. So it could be food, it could be money, it could whatever they were needing because they were needy saints at that time. Okay. Questions on any of this before we move to the next one? Okay. So. We're talking about, y'all have already brought up one thing, the type or the size of the type, readability. Last night, I was helping Charlotte with her little ESV that's like this size, and I was like, I'm crossing my eyes to try to help her find love in that, I mean, because it was tiny. There's no way I could do it. My granddaughter wanted an ESV journal Bible, and so I ordered it for her and had it sent to her. She's bringing it so I can look at it tonight, but... my daughter-in-law said, the print is so tiny. I'm glad I would have to have her young eyes to read it. We want something easy to read because we need to be reading it. We want to be familiar with it, right? So the boldness of the print, the size. Size might also be, it's like, say, in a man's case that wants to carry it and doesn't want to carry, or a woman doesn't want to carry something so big. You might have a bigger one at home with big type, smaller one that you carry with you to the church building. What's kind of being talked about in this section is your reading Bible, the one you're going to read from a lot. I have personally always had just one Bible. I read from it, studied from it, everything. But now, I was showing some of you that I bought this year, and it's this spiral Bible. And I actually really like how white it is. And when I read, I can also, I don't limit myself to write whatever I want to write. I would not write all that in my regular Bible because it might be a question that I had about I need to go back and look at that more. It might be just something that I start highlighting and then realize later I don't really need to highlight that. But it jumped out at me. Like one of the things I highlighted that I probably would not highlight in my regular Bible, I did not realize that all the sons of Israel, including Joseph, I think only Benjamin, had not been born when Jacob was still with Laban. That's just something interesting to me. I probably would not highlight that in my regular Bible, but it's kind of helped me stay engaged as I'm doing my daily Bible reading and trying to read through the Bible in a year. So when you think about a reading Bible, something that you can mark in, you can think in, you can... turn easy, you know, do the pages always stick together? Are they very, very thin and fragile? Does it turn easily? Now, I've never owned a text-only edition. My son-in-law said he has one. It has no chapters and verses. And he said sometimes he'll read out of that, kind of like I gave y'all the Ephesians. And, I mean, it was interesting to read it that way. But I think I would have a hard time with that all the time. But some people like that, just text only without, and because you have to remember there were no chapter and verse divisions when it was written. And these are things that we need to be telling our grandchildren. Hopefully our children already know that, but like when I was talking to Charlotte last night, she's like, I didn't know it didn't have chapters and verses. Those are things we probably are not imparting to our younger generation, things they need to know, so that they, as they study. If you don't have a text-only version or if you don't have a journaling Bible like I was showing you, you may want to have a notebook beside you, a spiral notebook or something to write. Oh, I wonder about that. You want to go back to it. So as you're reading, you might want to go back and see your note. Oh, I might want to study about that, right? I might want to think on that more. Might want to ask about that, okay? So a reference Bible, maybe it's the same as your reading Bible. Mine was for up until this year. Mine was my reading Bible and my reference Bible were the same thing. Okay. So different kinds according to the publisher. You might have a Thompson, a Dixon, a Nelson reference Bible. As we talked about earlier, they're going to have sometimes different references because those references were put in by the translator. So. Do you have one thing you might want to know is whether you have a chain or a central reference. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Let's go to 2 Samuel 7 in verse 12. Okay. Can someone read that for me?
When the days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom.
Okay. So there are several different letters in that one, but does someone have... if you look where there, do you have a little C by I will raise up your descendants after you and will come forth from you? Okay, what is the reference for that phrase?
1 Kings 8:20.
Okay, somebody else?
That one in Psalms 132.
That's what I have. I have both of those in mind. So let's go to Psalms 132:11. Carla, you want to read that one?
The Lord has sworn to David, a truth from which he will not turn back. The fruit of your body I will set upon your throne.
Okay, and if you look at the little B, what do you have under references there? So it goes back to where we were. That's part of the chain, but there are some others, right? So then, if we go, also listed in mine under there is also Acts 2 and verse 30. So let's go there. Okay, can someone else read Acts 2 and verse 30?
And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to one of his descendants on his throne.
Okay, so let's look in our verse 30 in our reference. And it, on mine, it's B. And what do we see as the as some of the verses as a reference?
Psalm 132:11.
And mine also has 2 Samuel, and then it also has Psalm 89:3. So a chain reference is kind of a loop. It'll keep, eventually you're going to get back to where you started, but it's going to be, so a chain is nice because you can just keep going, and so it doesn't matter where you in, where you start in the chain, it's always going to take you back to the chain. Central reference is a little bit different. Let's go to Matthew 20 and verse 1. Okay, somebody read that for me.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers.
Okay, and let's look in. What is the, mine is A. On A, what is your reference? Do you have a reference?
21:28, then verse 33.
Okay, so on mine, A is by, the kingdom of heaven, and it has Matthew 13:24. So go to Matthew 13:24. Okay, can somebody read that?
Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his.
Okay, and so by the kingdom of heaven, I have a little A. How many verses do you have listed under A or by the kingdom of heaven? A bunch. Four. So a central reference, most of the places where kingdom of heaven is going to send you back to Matthew 13:24. That's the central verse where all of them are listed. Okay, so it kind of just sends you back to one verse where they're all listed. So it's like a central verse. Now, the New Inductive Study Bible, a lot of times the New American Standard, it's a chain and a central. So you'll have some with more and less. But that's how the central and the chain work. When I had read central, I thought it meant central column. But it means there's a central verse that will have more references than the other. You might get to that verse and go, oh, I hit the jackpot. It has a bunch in this one. Well, that's because that's the central verse. They're all going to kind of send you back to that verse. Okay? That's the difference. It really doesn't matter one way or the other, as long as you know and you're familiar with your Bible and you kind of know what yours is. Okay? And like I said, mine is both. It's a chain and central. Okay? Footnotes. Everybody know what footnotes are? Mm-hmm. So we won't go over it a long time, but it'll give you in the footnote. I know, and what I'm reading right now in Exodus, it talks a lot about shekels, and it'll give you the little one, and it might tell you how, like I think it said, one talent of gold weighed 75 pounds. So it gives you different information in those little footnotes. You go to that verse, look at the one, two, or three, and then look that up. Okay? So helps. So I want to talk about that. In your Bible, you have some helps. You probably have at least a somewhat concordance. Does everyone know what a concordance is? Where you look up. So there's a word you find, maybe kingdom. Then you go to the back of your Bible, and you can look up the word kingdom, and it'll give you a definition, and it'll tell you other places the word kingdom is used. It's a very limited concordance compared to a big concordance, but it can help you. It's probably the more well-known. If I can find a K in my Bible. So like under... under kingdom, in mine, in the back of my Bible with my concordance, it says domain or monarchy. And then it gives me about 10 or 20 verses, about 20 verses of different places the word kingdom is used. Now, before we had online references, what you would have to do is you would have to have a concordance. This is the exhaustive concordance, and it can be exhausting, just so you know. You would have to have the one that matches your version so that the words were the same. Then you would have to look up kingdom, and it would give you every reference in the Bible of the word kingdom. And it would also give you a number, a Strong's number. And then you go to another part of the book, and you look up that Strong's number, and tells you what the Greek or Hebrew meaning of that word was. That's how we used to do it. Okay? We have another way to do that now, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. Your Bible may have a dictionary. It may have maps. My Bible has maps, and it has maps in some of the, like in Acts, it has a map inserted into the text where it shows the journeys. You have books that have maps in it, but just know what your Bible has. Some Bibles have tabs. Some don't have tabs. The idea about knowing your Bible is because this is your best friend to know what God has taught you, and you just want to know what tools you have in your Bible. You want to be familiar with it. You know, you're familiar maybe with your phone or your TV or your oven. You want to be, because you use them, you want to use your Bible, so you want to know what is in your Bible, what's been added by translators, and what you have right at your fingertips as a help in the Bible that you already carry. Okay? Mine also has timelines. Like sometimes if it'll have like the timelines similar to this Bible timeline over here, but just a piece of it, whatever you're reading. Like Daniel, when he did the prophecy about the kingdoms to come, it had a little timeline about when those kingdoms came to pass. Okay? So let's look at some online. I showed you that this is the eSword. We already talked about that. But let's go to, so the eSword, one of the things about eSword is that, so up here in this little corner up here, that's where you would change the where you find different books of the Bible. Here is where you change, but here, one of the things I use a lot in eSword is this 95, the New American Standard 95 plus with Strong's numbers. So now, instead of having to go look it up in this, I can have a whole passage. Let's go to, Proverbs. We were studying Proverbs 5, I think, and I used it.
You're in Blue Letter Bible, right?
No, I'm in eSword. We're going to go to Blue Letter in just a minute. So in eSword, in like on 5, I can go and any of those where there's that little number, I can click on it. And it tells me what the strong has the Strong's number, what the Strong's, what the Greek word is, and what it meant in the Greek. And that becomes very helpful. I've used it more in Proverbs than I thought I would, because sometimes it's talking and I'm like, what did that mean about that? And I think it's whatever, maybe it's New King James uses the word immorality instead of adultery. And so you can click on adultery and know exactly, it's not just any immorality. We use that word differently. And so that's very helpful. And then it'll also, you can click on this blue and it'll tell you everywhere in the King James Version that that Greek word is used. So it just takes you really quickly there to all the places that that particular, and it shows you in blue where that is. So that's one of the things I use in that. In case you're wondering, these are, you can put in notes like this. And as I told you before, my father puts in these kinds of notes and I like to read his notes. So when we get together, we just put iPads together and I get all of his notes. So that makes it nice. So I have an extra commentary. And then there are other commentaries, and at the bottom down here, there's dictionaries and commentaries and lexicons and all that. So you have a lot of things in there. But the one that's free that we'll talk about is Blue Letter Bible. And it also has lots of tools. I showed you earlier how you can go here to put different versions side by side. If you click this, you can either, if you click this little double squares, it opens up the verse. Now it's going to lie to me. Oh, here we go. Maybe you click on the actual verse. So can y'all read this? Somebody read that to me. That's Greek. That's the Greek version of it. Don't think I'll be reading that. But across here, that's the interlinear when it does that. But it'll give cross references. You can click on the little purple and it'll give you cross references of different things. So that's really nice. And then also, so I just clicked on the verse again and it goes away. You can click on tools. And that same stuff comes up, but you can pick what you want. You can click to read it in different Bibles, cross-references, dictionaries, commentaries, so forth. And it's all free. All free.
I think it looks better. I'm looking at it on my phone, but I like it much better on your iPad.
I can't do it on the phone. It's just too small.
Well, I mean,
I tried even eSword on my phone, and it's okay, but I like my iPad. When I use my iPad mostly, I don't even use eSword on my computer. I use it on the iPad version. That's just, that tends to be when I'm sitting.
A lot easier to see all your choices. Where here, you've got here, and then you know, once you get out of that, you gotta go down here.
Yeah. And up at the top, up here, if you look, you can just click and it'll do the same. It'll do all the Strong's numbers like it was in eSword. And same thing, you can just click on the little Strong's number and it takes you somewhere a lot faster. When I study, like when I'm studying for this class, or if I'm studying in Proverbs, a lot of times I'll have my iPad open, my Bible open, and then my computer or my pad in the middle, and I'm writing as I go. So makes it nice. So it's so easy now to have all the versions and all the stuff. And Blue Letter Bible is free, so you know. And if you want it, you can do format. You can format it by verse. You can format it by paragraph. You can have red letter. You can have it read to you. I mean, you can copy and paste. It's awesome. There's a lot of free information there. I think that's really great. So, so the whole purpose of everything we're talking about. The point is we need to remember to use our Bibles, become familiar with it, know it, and read it. I will say this brought me little pangs one time. A preacher said in his lesson, you wouldn't leave home without your phone. You'll leave home without your Bible. Of course, now we carry our Bible on our phone. But, you know, how familiar are you with your phone? How familiar are you with your Bible? And so that kind of, I thought about that. You know, how familiar are we? So, any questions about anything we've gone over? So this is the homework you have for January. And it's using all the things that we learned. Text me if you have questions about it. You're learning chain reference. A lot of it is to figure out what kind of Bible you have, what kind of reference you have. Cindy and Susan aren't here this morning. Oh, that's right. I remember Susan. Now, another thing is, you know, we talked about the king wrote out his own copy. Regina turned me on to this, and I printed it out. I'm going to let her talk about it while I pass it out. Oh. I made copies.
Okay, so as all of you probably do, you struggle with making time for the Bible. So a few years ago, I got turned on. I can't even remember how I came.
It's front and back, by the way.
But somebody turned me on to scripture writing. And so basically, this lady, it's on write the word on your heart. Write every word on your heart. And she's on Facebook. And so there are several ways to do it. You can buy her book, and you can, you know, each page is the scripture that you're supposed to write, and you write it out. You can do a word study. Now that we have all this, you could do a strong study. You could do whatever. What I did is, y'all see me carry a little notebook that I do, I take notes in. Well, I bought one just for scripture writing. I have many. When I go to Ross, I go back there in the back, and if they have little books for sale, I buy them and put them in my repertoire. So this is 1 year of Bible writing.
You're not writing the whole Bible.
No.
It's just whatever she recommended for that year.
I did that 2 years ago. Trying to think of Allison Flores, Zeke's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Has it on Facebook.
Oh, neat.
The difference, instead of just a scripture, it's a scripture, but there's a theme.
Yeah.
For each day. So, you know, as you go through your notebook, that theme can catch you.
Oh, that's cool.
Your eye and